This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zins, Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. There's going to be a lot of the same because they can't really get rid of a lot of these guys. They're kind of stuck with them. You know what? I don't know how much you follow the Heat, but the Whiteside years with the Johnson brothers and all that, that they were stuck to those contracts. That's what this team reminds me of. It reminds me of that Heat team that is stuck with a bunch of contracts in a bad cap situation, and they stayed there and they were mediocre. Mediocre for the Heat is hovering around 500 and maybe, you know, just get in the playoffs or something. That's mediocre for the Heat. But for this team, mediocre is a lot worse. You're the worst team in the league. But it kind of reminds me of that situation that they're stuck in a position right now financially that I don't know how the hell they get out of it.
Yeah, look, they have issues coming up in the next few seasons that they're going to have to resolve with the sanctions. They're probably going to have to get rid of some of these players and rely on even younger players that are on less money, that are less proven. So, but that's further down the line. If we're talking this season right now, I mean, they need to have real hard talks, real hard discussions. I've heard David Beckham is coming within the next few days. That was already in the plans, but this is not because of the result last night. But when he gets here, he needs to sit down with Jorge and Jose Mas. They need to have hard talks. They need to have a real discussion with Phil Neville and try to figure out how to best move forward. Because right now, this team is a disaster. Last night was some of the worst soccer I've seen professionally in 10-plus years, live and in person. It was awful. Like, just players not on the same page. After the first 15 minutes, because we have to take into account the first 15 minutes, Inter Miami looked pretty good.
Well.
They were on the front foot. They were attacking. They looked a team that was more likely to score. But then once that New England
The Robbie strike was nice. I know I went just wide right, but it was it was like, okay, this is the guy that we were hoping for, you know? And then after that, that was like the highlight of the night, actually.
Once
they hit the post twice. They hit the post twice.
Once New England scored, though, the wheels just came off. Everything just went to the crapper because it just players crumbled, heads went down, and you could just see it from there. The desire was no longer there. Look, Phil Neville after the game, I don't know if this is just the point where he's recognized it, or I doubt that's the case. But it's the point where he's finally said, enough is enough. I have to acknowledge this publicly. And last night he said, he's practically, at least from my vantage point, my viewpoint, practically pleading for this group of players to be a team. Because he was saying, look, we need a team. All I'm asking for is a team. You can win, you can lose. But, you know, this football club needs to have a team that fights for each other. So, look, I've been talking about that for months now. I can remember the exact moment I first had this impression or this perspective on Inter Miami this season, and it was the Wednesday night game that was with the monsoon, with the rain delay. I know that because it ended up being my birthday at midnight that night. And I remember writing the next day and saying it on Miami Total Football's YouTube page, this is a collection of individuals. They don't play for one another. They don't fight for one another. Victor Ulloa had a very illuminating quote during the pregame press conference on Tuesday this week, talking about how they haven't been able to establish those bonds in the locker room because of COVID, and how they were, you know, they had to come just to go to training sessions. They would train together for an hour and a half, and then they would all go their own way. They didn't have time in the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. But look, we've heard this since last year.
Everybody has the same issues.
Exactly.
Nashville had to go through the same. Give me a break.
Exactly. And we've heard this before.
AJ De La Garza. As we say in Spanish, eso es una paja mental. Okay? Let it go. All right? Go ahead.
No. Look, AJ De La Garza said it last year.
And by the way, for our Anglo friends out there, mental masturbation is that. That's what that is. So go ahead.
Last year, AJ De La Garza said it after the playoff game, after the loss, the 3-0 loss to Nashville SC. He said, we're not on the same page. I asked Will Trapp after he left Inter Miami to go to Minnesota United.
I remember that.
Why he thought that the team did not succeed or live up anywhere close to expectations last year. He said, it's a collection of individuals. Now you're getting Victor Ulloa saying the chemistry is still not there, that they're still working on it. They finally have been able to spend some time together over the last 2 weeks. Look, if that's such a recurring issue, then this team is a broken team. And I said that last night in my video that'll come out today. I will write that today. This is a broken, fractured team. that I don't know what the solutions are. I think if Phil Neville stays on board,
there's no solution here, not for this season.
No. I mean, I've been saying for weeks now that everything's trending down. I don't see much reason for optimism, but in terms of what they can do going forward, this group, if Phil Neville stays on board, look, it's probably time to bench Blaze Matuidi. I think that will happen on Sunday. I think pulling him at halftime yesterday was a big sign that that Phil Neville is considering that move. Because I liked what I saw from Jay Chapman in the second half as well. I think Gonzalo Higuain could be benched on a more permanent basis. Not this, oh, well, he's on a fitness plan type of thing. Because, look, you can lose games, but it's better to lose 2-1 to Orlando City or 1-0 to DC United with some crap soccer, but at least there's effort, as opposed to losing 5-0 like we saw last night. Because that was abysmal. And again, the fans deserve way better than that.
Now, you said something interesting. Beckham's coming back, and they've got to have a conversation. How much is Beckham the problem? Because he brought Phil Neville. Matuidi is his guy, his friend that he helped lure here. And so if those are two of the moves tied to specifically Bex, those have been absolutely terrible moves so far. Again, I started this by saying you can't blame Neville, but I'm going to say right now, at least you can't be impressed by Neville. And Matuidi, I mean, seriously. What moron adds a defensive midfielder as a DP? I mean, you know, that I tweeted that out yesterday. Only Paul McDonough would build a team with no attacking midfielder. And this is the nuttiest thing about it. At least with the fusion, we had 87-year-old El Pibe. But at least El Pibe at 87 years old can place the ball in places that nobody could pretty much in that league. And he moved slightly faster than the Statue of Liberty. I mean, slightly faster than the Statue of Liberty. Yet, it didn't matter who it was, whether it was Roy Lassiter, you name it, they are going to have the ball placed right on their foot ahead of the defender so you can get into the box and make your play. And that's how do you not build a team with an offensive-minded midfielder, bro? Please explain that to me.
I mean, they thought Pizarro was the guy, and that was someone that Diego Alonso wanted on board that he had worked with previously at two different clubs in Mexico. So Pizarro was supposed to be that number 10. And look, early on, he carried his weight early on. Then after the MLS's back tournament, his performances started to dip a little bit. I think the arrival of Gonzalo Higuain also impacted his influence in the team and in the locker room. So I think there's a lot of things. I think there's a lot of things with regards to why this team is in a bad way. You mentioned David Beckham. Look, David Beckham is a very successful person. His brand is attached to winning brands, successful brands. This is partially his team, though. And he has had a say in a lot of the decisions that have not gone well. And there's call a spade a spade. That's just the reality of the situation. He, along with Jorge Mas, decided to hire Paul McDonough initially over Chris Henderson. They were both finalists for the sporting director job, and they went with Paul McDonough. That was the wrong choice. They tried to right that wrong this year by firing Paul McDonough and hiring Chris Henderson. But the damage has already been done. And now David Beckham handpicks Phil Neville, who is his former teammate, a friend, and a business partner. And Phil Neville is not doing a good enough job. We can talk about the team. The players aren't doing a good enough job. Sure. But the head coach is also not doing a good enough job. They're not scoring off of set pieces. They're not scoring at all. And they're losing games in ugly and lopsided fashion. So again, there's problems across the board for Inter Miami, but Phil Neville is definitely one of them. David Beckham's decision-making might also be part of the equation.
With David Beckham, with Chris Henderson, with Jorge Mas involved, what was the determination? Have you been able to find out behind the scenes why they went with McDonough over Henderson? Did Henderson demand more control? And since Henderson has taken over, does he have full control? Or can he get influenced by either Beckham or Moss, and that because they want something, Henderson, you know, this happens a lot in other sports. I don't follow the intricacies of the MLS as much. But I know if I'm Chris Henderson, I'm leaving Seattle and I'm going to Miami, I'm going to tell them, hey, yo, guys, I make the final call on personnel moves here. Not anybody else. I understand you guys are the owners, but if I'm going to run the team, I want control. See, because I'm not convinced that Paul McDonough made every decision. As you mentioned, the coach had influence on Pizarro and stuff. So it gets to a point where if you're the GM and you're going to get blamed for everything like McDonough, did McDonough do all the decisions? Apparently not. Is Chris Henderson making all the decisions? Because if he isn't making all the decisions, well, then I know where Chris Henderson's going to end up. He's going to end up fired eventually. Because if other people are making the decisions, the GM always gets the blame in the end. And so how much control does Chris Henderson truly have? Because here's where I end my point. Chris Henderson has more experience and is more proven at building soccer teams than David Beckham, Jorge Mas, and everybody else in that franchise combined. He is better than they are at all of this. So why not allow him to have total control of personnel decisions?
So that's a good question. It's a question that I raised when Chris Henderson initially took the job, because remember, he was hired simultaneously with Phil Neville. That was like a joint announcement that they made. They both had a joint press conference. So I have questions, and I don't have answers for you. Unfortunately, I don't have concrete answers for you, but I have questions as to how much authority Chris Henderson has in this team, because I don't think if he did a coaching search, if you gave Chris Henderson the start of the year an open slate and you said, go find a head coach, I don't think he would have found or picked or come up to the conclusion that Phil Neville's the guy. That's a David Beckham.
Dude, you and I know he would have picked an MLS guy. He would have found the best assistant coach out there, or he would have stolen somebody else's coach from them. That's what he would have done. Come on, bro.
It's David Beckham's guy. Phil Neville is David Beckham's handpicked guy. Now, does Chris Henderson have the authority to say, hey, David, hey, Jorge, I think it's time we let Phil go? Does he have that power, or is David, because he's involved, because it's someone he's close to, he has ties with, we're talking about Phil, is he going to say, sure, yeah. So I have a question with regards to how much authority Chris Henderson has, something I raised when he was first hired, because this situation obviously was hypothetical in that instance. But I said, you know, what if Phil Neville doesn't do a good job? Does Chris Henderson have the green light to just say, look, let's cut our ties and start over? Because it's not a Chris Henderson hire. So I think with how involved David Beckham and Jorge Mas are, I don't think it's necessarily entirely a bad thing, but I think they also need to let the soccer people that are the decision that have experience, that have the sporting director or the front office
title
experience, mm-hmm. let them make the decisions. You can have your input, you can have your desires for what you want, and let them execute that plan. But I think, you know, you don't want to be overbearing or too much involved also, because that can also lead to negative things. And you mentioned Paul McDonough, and I'll close out with this with regards to this topic. Last year at one point, Paul McDonough, during the beginning of the season, before the pandemic hit, he was talking about signing a number 9 and a central midfielder. And he wasn't looking at bigger names. He was looking at players that were a little bit younger, that aren't as flashy, good players, but not with the caliber or the careers of Gonzalo Higuain and Blaise Matuidi. Some point after Inter Miami started resuming training in June, that changed. And now it was, we need some stars. They started, you know, there was reports of Willian and Luis Suarez, Edison Cavani. It changed. I don't think, and again, this is just what I think, Paul McDonough changed his approach or his mindset for how he wanted to build a team. I think that was instructed to him. Like, hey, look, we need a competitive team. We need players that are going to come in and make an impact, but we also need some big names because we have this, this, and this. Whatever those things are. Whether it's marketing off the field.
Just look at his work in Atlanta, and it tells you that it's not the same.
Sure. It's not his formula. Right. So I think ownership probably was saying, hey, look, I don't know. Again, I don't know what the reasons were. I can surmise or speculate, you know, maybe financially with the impact that COVID had on teams. Maybe Inter Miami is like, we need to recover some of this by investing in bigger name players that are going to draw us more attention or sell jerseys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, we don't have concrete answers as to that. But along the way, Paul McDonough's mindset or approach changed. I imagine that came from from his bosses, which are the owners. So there's a lot to chew on with this team. It's not just about the players and the coaches. Again, across the board, there needs to be some real honest reflection and assessment of what's going on.